Okay, this podcast is for fun, entertainment. We are not a reliable source. We're here to just have a good time, talk about some murder, and laugh, I guess. I don't fucking know. But welcome to It Is What It Is. I'm Sean Marie.
I'm Jean.
And today, we are doing Strictly Idahoans.
True to the state.
True to the state.
All right. Bunch of crazies out here. Yep. No, I'm kidding. I'm from here.
She's crazy.
There's crazies everywhere, to be fair.
Yep, so we're staying local today. We are going about 2 hours and 22 minutes away from my house, which is 5 minutes away from Jean's house. So, yeah.
Not too far away.
No, not too far away at all. It's actually quite small of a town. It's kind of... So, guys, there's this town in Idaho. It's called Peekaboo, Idaho. Mm-hmm. Literally, like the game of Peekaboo. Mm-hmm. Like, I blinked, and I was in Ketchum or something.
Well, they have, I think they have a post office there.
I think so.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know about a gas station. I haven't been there in a while.
I think there was, like, a fire station and, like, a post office. Well, that was nice. It. Yeah. It was many, many years ago. Yeah. Many, many years ago. But
it's rural areas.
Yeah.
There's a whole bunch of nothing sometimes. You know? Yeah.
I always want to live in a small town like that. Like, I had so many weird dreams as a child.
Yeah.
Yeah. To live in one of those small towns where, like, everybody knows your name.
Yeah, but then that could also be...
And knows your business.
A lot of pressure because they know your name and your business and girls talk.
Everybody loves me.
Everybody gossips.
Right.
Yeah.
But today, we're actually going to go to Bellevue, Idaho.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty up there. Lots of trees.
Yeah. Pretty. It looks pretty. On the forensic files in the 2020 done about this. Looks very pretty. And there's an ID. There's a Snapped episode. Oh. But Snapped has 20, maybe even 30 now. Something like that. Seasons. They have a lot of seasons. And it's season 4, which is not available on the ID channel app.
Oh.
So I couldn't watch it for this. But... It was a featured on Snap, too. So today we're going to talk about Sarah Marie Johnson. She was 16 years old when she shot and killed her parents with a high-powered rifle.
Whoa.
Because they didn't approve of her 19-year-old boyfriend.
They didn't approve of her boyfriend. Well, I don't think murder is the solution to that.
Dude, it makes me so afraid to tell, like, you can't really tell your kids no nowadays. You know what I mean? It's so scary.
No, you have, no, I disagree with that.
Well, I'm gonna.
Hopefully your kids won't kill you in your sleep, but.
Oh, dude, it's absolutely horrible. So, Alan, her dad, was 46 years old.
Yeah.
And her mom, Diane, was 52. They lived on a home that sat on 2 acres of land. In a small suburb, like I said, in Bellevue, Idaho. This town is small enough that they have, in 2010 in the census, they had a little over 2,000 people.
Yeah.
And that was it.
Cute little town.
So cute, adorable little town. They had been married for 20 years. Oh. They were devoted to each other and they had 2 children, Matt and Sarah. The Johnsons were liked in the community. Matt was the co-owner of a popular landscaping community, and she was worked at a financial firm there. So in the early morning hours of September 2nd, 2003, Sarah Johnson ran out of her home screaming for help. She told her neighbors that her parents had been murdered.
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm. And in the 911 call, you can hear her screaming. Like crazy screaming in the background while her neighbor talks to 911. When the police arrived, they found her mom lying under the covers in her bed. She was dead from a gunshot blast that had removed most of her head.
Oh, God. Well, shotguns kind of do that.
Mm-hmm. And her dad was laying on the floor next to the bed, and he had a gunshot wound to his chest, and the shower was going. Her dad's body was wet, and based on the bloody footprints and the blood spatter, he got out of the shower when he heard the wife get shot.
Yeah.
So she shot him when he was coming out of the bathroom.
Yeah.
So he did manage to walk a little bit towards his wife before collapsing and dying. The police immediately secured the whole scene, and they went as far as doing the entire block around the house.
Yeah.
The trash can, the trash people were right down the road. The trash truck, like you can mm-hmm. see it in the news.
The garbage truck.
Mm-hmm. You can see it in the news footage that it's houses away.
Mm-hmm.
But they stop it. They're like, no, you're not taking this trash. This trash stays because mm-hmm. we don't know what's in this trash can. So when they keep the trash can, they find inside that there is a bloody pink robe and two gloves. One was a left-handed leather glove, and the other one was a right-handed latex glove. Inside the home, they found a blood trail, blood spatter, and tissue and bone fragments that went from the master bedroom into the hallway and across to Sarah Johnson's bedroom.
Hang on. How old is this girl again?
16.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. With a 264 Weston Winchester magnifold rifle.
Sure. Those are really nice, expensive, lots of damage rifles. That's a lot of power.
Is it?
Yeah. So it creates, you know, the hole where it's the whole chest.
Yeah, well, I saw the reenactment that they did
mm-hmm.
with like a fucking fruit or something to prove some shit we'll get into. But, so that was found in the master bedroom. Two butcher knives were found at the end of the bed and the tips of the blades were touching, which I guess was a sign of some gang shit. I've never heard of that, but that's what they said, is that like the tips of the knives touching was like...
Uh-huh.
Some type of gang affiliation.
The Idaho gangs, yeah.
Yeah, I guess. Let's not talk too much shit because they do exist.
I don't know.
But yeah. Yeah, at the end of the bed, they were touching, like I said. So a magazine of bullets was also found in Sarah's bedroom,
mm-hmm.
which was located 20 feet across the hallway from the master bedroom. There was no evidence whatsoever of a forced entry into the home. When she first talked to the police, she has said that she woke up around 6:15 in the morning and heard her parents' shower running. She continued to lay in bed. While laying in bed, she heard two gunshots. She said she ran out of the bedroom, forced her way to the door that was closed, her bedroom door that was closed. She did open it. She goes, and she goes to the neighbor's house. And she begins screaming for help. Story two. Her stories change several times. This is one of the two stories that she stuck to the most part.
Mm-hmm.
She said her parents' door was slightly open and heard, and other times she said the door was completely closed of her parents' bedroom door. Based on the forensic evidence, though, in the hallway and Sarah's bedroom, both doors had to be open at the same time.
Yeah.
Her mother's fucking head fragments were on her bedroom wall.
Well, so obviously the door was open.
Yeah, so her story is saying my bedroom door was closed
isn't gonna match up
with what happened.
Yeah.
And then she said, well, I didn't, my parents' door was closed, but that's also not true. She also admitted that she owned the pink robe and that it was her, but denied anything knowing how it ended up in the trash. She just said it ended up there. No one knows why. When she first was asked about the robe, her first response was she did not kill her parents.
They didn't ask about that, though. They asked about...
They asked whose robe it was, and she was like, I didn't kill nobody. They're like, well, calm down. Is it yours? Like, whose robe is it? And she's like, oh, okay. That's the question? Mine. Don't know why it's there, though. It does this. It goes places. It's crazy.
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm. So, they think that's super weird, obviously. She said that she thought the killer was a maid who had recently been fired by the Johnsons for stealing, so she blamed the help.
Oh, yeah.
The murder weapon was owned, and it was a rifle that was owned by Mel Siegel? Spiegel? Spiegel. Spiegel. Who had been renting a guest house located in the back of the property. He was away on Labor Day weekend in Boise, Idaho, which is 4 hours from here. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, he was a distance away. Yeah. He was hours and hours away. So, they know it wasn't him, but it was his gun that did kill them.
Oh.
When questioned, he told police that he had kept the rifle in his unlocked closet in his apartment. And Sarah used to clean the guest house and make some side money. So she knew where all of his shit was.
Yep.
And don't tell me you didn't snoop. You know what I mean? Because I'm nosy as hell.
At 16?
Yeah.
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 Well, it also kind of depends on the person and their battle of curiosity versus
I'm nosy as hell.
Privacy.
You leave me alone in a room for 2 seconds, I'm fucking looking through shit.
Don't be looking at journals.
I'm nosy as shit. I'm nosy.
I'll talk to her, guys.
Nope, I'm staying that way. Nosy. Anyway, so she's described by neighbors, friends as a sweet girl who enjoys playing volleyball. She was really big into that. But she had changed over the summer months. One thing that changed was she became obsessed with her 19-year-old boyfriend, Bruno Santo Dominguez.
Yeah.
Her and him had been dating for about 3 months before the murder of her parents. So we're not even in like a committed relationship. We're 3 months into this shit. Uh-huh. Oh, kids
getting
irritate
to
me.
Know that
person. Yeah. And they did not approve of him because he was 19 years old and undocumented.
Mm-hmm.
So,
did he have a job?
No, he was a drug dealer.
Well, yeah, they're gonna say no.
Uh huh.
You don't bring that guy home to mom.
No. And even by his picture, you as a parent. Okay, no. You know what I mean?
If that boy like, came to your house to pick up,
he's
one
going and, the fuck home.
Yeah.
Like I'm sorry, but this is not happening. And it's not about race. Before anybody says I'm racist. Little white boy shows up looking like that, you're going to hell home too.
Mm-hmm.
Don't give a shit
that's
what your skin color
right,
is.
Actually,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Like,
it really
is. Ain't about to happen here.
Especially mama lion.
Sorry, thuggin'. Ain't about to happen.
Yeah.
My baby don't need no
thugs.
Sorry.
Want her life to go down the drain anyway.
Well, and she was a good kid. She was smart, you know? She had activities. She fucking played sports. She was a good kid. Good kid. She was a daddy's girl, which is crazy. Her and her mom did fight more towards the end, but mainly because of this boyfriend. If the boyfriend wasn't in the picture, there probably wouldn't have been so much discourse and sadness within the home.
Yeah.
The last phone call the son got, and he was away in Moscow at Idaho State.
Yeah.
Going to college.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and his mom talked to him the night before the murder, and she was crying and telling him about the sister and the boyfriend and how it's like out of control. She's they don't know what to do. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's a crazy, hectic thing. And I don't know. So it's
so
just
this
sad.
This kid gets a call while he's in college
mm-hmm.
and has to go home.
Mm-hmm. And she doesn't get arrested for a while. We'll get into that. Hold on. We'll get into that. Let me tell you a little more.
That's good.
So her close friends said that a few days before the Johnsons' murder, she showed them a ring and told them that they were now engaged. They also said, though, that Sarah was sometimes a liar. So they really didn't know if she was really engaged or if she was just talking out of her ass.
Mm-hmm.
So on August 29th, she told her parents that she was going to go spend the night with some friends. But instead, she went to his house.
Yeah.
When her parents find this out, her dad goes, finds her at his house the next day in the family's apartment. Her and her parents begin to argue. She told her parents about the engagement. Mom's very upset and pissed the fuck off about this.
Yeah.
She tells him, I'm going to report you for statutory rape if you don't leave my daughter alone. If anything, she's hoping that getting him in trouble will get him deported.
Yeah.
Is really what is what everybody has said. The deportation.
That's a polite warning. Hey,
yeah,
I got you, and you know I got you because everybody knows when you turn 18,
mm-hmm. You're free to do what you please.
15 will get you 20.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, when you turn 18, really, we still can fight. Yeah. You know what I mean? You can argue with me if you want. I'm still going to win. I'm your mom. Maybe. Hopefully.
No, yeah.
So they grounded Sarah for the rest of the Labor Day weekend. Yep. They took her car keys. Within the few days.
She messed up her trust.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She fucked them up.
Well, yeah, I take her car keys. Yeah, yeah. And the phone.
And that's, dude, as a kid, you got to think, dude, your world is collapsed. Devastated. Yes.
Your parents don't understand.
Oh, my God. So, okay, a little backstory.
They're just judging him.
Yeah. Like, okay, so I moved out when I was 15. Mm-hmm. I moved out. My mom caught me moving out on her lunch break.
Oh.
Bless her heart.
Moms are like
She
that.
Went about her the way. She didn't say shit, really. She knew. Try to stop me. This is going to be the biggest battle of your life. Try it. Try to stop me. Ain't going to happen. So she chose her battles. I move out. I'm 15 years old. I move in with the dude. Turns horrible. The whole spiel. You guys already know half of that backstory. Turns out extremely horrible. I was not going back to that house. You know what I mean? Like, I was set in my ways. I wasn't going back. I look back at it now as an adult, and I'm like, shit. That was a battle, dude. You should have chose to fight that battle. As a parent, yeah. That is a battle that should have been fought.
You didn't want to go back because she
yeah.
was right.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not going to kill you.
I'm guessing, sorry.
No, she was right. It fucking sucked. But, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's not worth death. Never, ever was I like, I'm just going to kill this bitch. Done with it.
But no. Also, as a parent of teenagers, you can talk to them and talk to them, and you're bashing. For years, you have the same conversations with mm-hmm. them, and they make their own decisions.
Oh, yeah.
At the worst times, when it's 2 o'clock in the morning and your ass is asleep.
Oh, yeah. Oh, dude, I've snuck out plenty of time.
You know, it,
many moon.
Their kids, it's tough. Teenagers suck.
And I can't imagine.
And I have teenagers, so I can say that, by the way.
It's just weirder, though, when you're the parent that you know your kid's a good kid, and then they just start changing on you.
Uh-huh.
And then they throw you through the what the fuck loop.
Who are you?
Yeah.
Type thing.
Yeah.
But then, as a parent, you look at their friends, what's going on, what's in.
Well, they have all the same friends except for the one new person. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? All the friends are the same except for now we got some little gangbanger sitting on our couch. And that's a hell no. Like the only thing your parents have ever told you not to do, you little girl, the only thing your parents have ever said, Sarah, we don't want you to do this. This is a bad idea.
Bad idea. Yep.
Is this little guy right here.
It did not deserve a death sentence.
No. Go throw a tantrum like a normal fucking teenager. Yeah.
Run away and try and figure it out.
Yeah. Do something dramatic. Yeah. Run away. Fucking kill me because I told you no. Fuck you.
What's going to happen to her when she's in lockup?
I don't. And probably nothing. She's a baby.
When Big Bessie tells her no.
She's a baby. Anyway, sorry guys. We really went on a tangent.
We did. It happens.
So Sarah had keys to his apartment. So that's how they knew that she had access to the guest house. Both Diane and Sarah called Matt the night before. Okay. So they called brother and son. He had been called. His mom's crying about Sarah and the relationship, expressing embarrassment on Sarah's actions.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the other hand, Sarah she tells Matt that she's accepting the punishment and that she knew what they were up to, which is weird. It's a weird comment. He didn't think it was weird. And almost called his mother back, but decided because it was so late not to. And then they died. He was going to call his mom back after talking to the sister because she made some weird comments during the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
So he was going to call his mom back, but he's like, all right, she already was crying. She's already having a hard night.
I'll call her
in the morning, yeah. See how things end up. His parents are dead the next morning. Both parents. Yeah.
Oh.
Poor kid. Dude, it was so sad. It was so sad. We'll get into it. It's so sad. So DNA evidence showed that the blood in the tissue belonged to the mom.
Yeah.
On the pink rope, along with DNA that matched Sarah, only Sarah, and gunshot residue was found on the leather gloves. Her DNA was found inside the latex gloves. Mom's DNA was also found in the blood that was on the on her socks that she was wearing the morning that her parents were killed. So she's arrested on October 31st, 29th. Sorry, October 29th. So think about that. From September to October, she's out of jail. She goes to the funeral.
Mm-hmm.
She has people telling her sorry. Her aunt comes on the thing and says that she was more concerned about going and getting her nails done than anything else. She was asking friends to check on her boyfriend and see if he was okay. Not concerned about herself. Her grandmother was still alive. Her mom's mom.
Mm-hmm.
That poor, sweet old lady. That would have been the first
person you go to.
Oh, my. Yeah. Dude, oh, my. And she was even like, we didn't want to believe it, but it was kind of hard not to believe it based on the way she was acting.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, she told like her brother.
She checked off a list and she was just moving on.
Yeah, and she was just going on.
Yeah.
Because she knew about the insurance money and that she was going to get money and like her and him had planned to go and live happily ever after, buy the house, have the dream, blah, blah, blah. That's what the dream was, I guess. I mean, and when you're 16, I have a hard time believing any 16-year-old looks at that shit rationally. Maybe it's just because when I was 16, I was worried about adult shit. So, I don't know.
When you have that attention and he or she is saying all the perfect, beautiful things that you need to hear and are feeding you ideas. Oh, yeah.
So, watch Nancy Grace?
Well, you're all Twitter-pated. Honestly, I do not personally
care for her.
No.
I fucking love Nancy Grace, okay? Yeah. I have loved her since I was a little kid. When Anna Nicole Smith died...
Uh-huh.
I religiously, guys, religiously watched her because she was calling motherfuckers out left and right. She's like, oh yeah, why'd this happen then? And I love it because people on her show, they stutter and they're like, well, because we gotta go. Commercial. I don't know. And I love it because she puts you on the spot.
She and never lets anyone finish their sentence.
That's why I love her.
I am.
I love her. She helps out a big thing in this case, dude. She helps out a lot.
Yeah.
Because she points out
go ahead.
The obvious thing. Yeah. Here's the obvious thing. So they have one big problem. The robe that she has, okay, the pattern of blood on the robe. Most of the blood is on the left sleeve and the back side of the robe, not on the front. So... they are like, how the fuck, if she's wearing this robe open before the shooting, it should be on the front. How the fuck is everything on the back? How do we prove all of this? They go to Nancy Grace, and they're telling her the problem and everything else, and she just goes, well, shit.
She had it on backwards.
She had it on backwards. Duh. Y'all ever think of that? Everybody was like, shit, we did not. Well, now we do.
That way she wouldn't get so much blood on her.
So I guess little Miss Sarah was hella into like murder cases, crime,
mm-hmm.
everything else. She is no fucking dummy,
mm-hmm.
this kid. Not at all.
Well, kind of. She threw it all right there in the trash. Anyways, go ahead.
God, I guess. I don't know. So she, and they, because now they have to prove, now the big problem is when the cops get there, she has no blood on her whatsoever. None in her hair, none on her clothes, nothing.
She would have something if the backside was covered the way it was.
Yeah, she had nothing. Nothing. They checked her. Unless
she showered and got all pretty before they got there.
Nope, she didn't. Dude, she, and I'll tell you why. She didn't have anything on her.
Was she wearing a ring?
No, she was wearing the robe.
Mm-hmm.
She was wearing the robe. But we'll get into it because it's part of her little defense. So Nancy Grace points all that out and she's like, you guys, come on, knock it off. Duh. So during the trial, there was a lot of testimony about her inappropriate behavior and lack of emotion during the brutal murder of her parents, like during the whole trial.
Yeah.
Everybody kept saying that she was being stuck up, cold-hearted.
Asking about her boyfriend.
Yeah. They offered to confirm. A lot of them wanted to talk about the days before the murder and after the murder and how she was more concerned about seeing her boyfriend than she was. She didn't seem traumatized, they all testified. She went through experiencing nothing at all when they went back to the house after that to get stuff for the funeral and stuff. At her at the parents' funeral, she talked about wanting to play volleyball that night and displayed nothing, and all of her displays of emotion seemed fake to everyone. They also testified that she had a terrible relationship between her mother, but that was also based on wanting the boyfriend to be a part of it. That her brother gave the most damning evidence of all. When he testified, he described her to be a drama queen and a good actor, and that she had the potential of lying about everything. During part of his 2-hour testimony, he said things that Sarah told him before arriving to the house when his parents were murdered that didn't seem to match up. And he said to her that he thought her boyfriend did it. And she said, no, he didn't. He didn't. He loved Dad like a father. And the brother was like, that's not right at all. Yeah. And you fucking know that's not right. Like, don't. No. So she was making a bunch of weird ass fucking statements like that. Like, she was trying to defend him and her. Mm-hmm. And the brother said that he was kind of scared to really ask her, having to hear it from her. But no one was really shocked at her arrest. She got arrested in a suit, which is pretty bitching.
Jeez.
Pretty bitching. And she fucking lied the whole time. But anyway. She told him that at 2 a.m. the night before the murders that someone had been to the house trying to break into the house, is what she told her brother. There's that someone the night before, and that they had informed the police of this.
I'm sure his mom would have mentioned that in the phone call.
Yeah, and that's pretty much what he came to the conclusion to.
Just see.
And like I said, he avoided asking her about the murders because he didn't want to know the truth. So some of the strongest points of defense that her team made during the trial was the lack of bodily grossness on her body, on Sarah. There was no
blood splatter.
There was no brain splatter or anything. And I'm and when they did the demonstration, that wasn't allowed into court. The judge said, hell no. They're like, that's going to traumatize people. But they did a reenactment of it that they show, and oh my God. Ah, God.
That skull comes apart like a teacup, huh?
Dude, blew apart. Yep. Blew the. Dude, it was just insane. I was blown away. Shotguns are bad.
Winchester rifle.
Because as close as that she was, insane. Dude, how close they said that she was.
Wow.
Insane. So, they were saying that she obviously couldn't enough because when the cops got there, there was nothing on her. They checked her hair, hands, everything. She was clean to go.
Fingernails.
Mm-hmm. So they said if she did do it, they didn't know how. She passed 2 physical exams the day of the murder. Because she did. She went through 2 of them and she passed them both. Her fingerprints were not found on the bullets, the knives, the rifle. There was 1 identified print found on the rifle. She was in an adult prison at the time because they charged her as an adult, even though she was 16 years old.
Yeah.
Her adult cellmate did testify against her, saying that she made comments that she knew to place the knives like that because then it would look like a gang-related shooting. And because her boyfriend was involved in a gang, that it would look like the gang did something on behalf of the relationship. Which is kind of weird. But then again, I don't fucking know. I don't know. They thought that her team thought the testimony should be thrown out because she was an adult and not a kid. So they don't think that her testimony should have counted. And then the state was like, well, who gives a fuck? It's a statement.
Yeah.
Who gives two shits?
These women are spending some time together in the same cell.
So, you know, to get how she got away with nothing, she fucking wore shower caps. She had a shower. She flushed it down the toilet, which caused a massive clog that a plumber had to come out and unclog.
And it was a shower cap.
It was a shower cap that she had on it.
Brain matter on it? Or was it washed away?
I don't know. It was in the sewer.
Oh, yeah.
It was stuck in the sewer for a couple weeks.
Never mind.
But then she wore the robe backwards, okay? And that robe has the fluffy part.
Uh-huh.
So on your neck is what I'm talking about. The shoulder part. It's all fluffy. So all of everything, she threw away the gloves and everything else like that. I guess the leather glove that she had on was so that she didn't get...
The burn? Yep, from firing again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So she knew about everything that she was doing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she was very well thought out.
Mm-hmm.
Except for she didn't figure the door story to be a lie. And I'm pretty sure when they showed that to her, she fucking kicked herself in the ass and was like, damn it.
I missed that part.
I didn't think that far ahead. Well, it took the jurors 11 hours before finding her guilty of 2 counts of murder in the first degree. She was sentenced to 2 fixed life terms plus 15 years without the possibility of parole. She was also fined $10,000, which $5,000 of that is to go to Matt Johnson, her brother.
Oh, wow.
In efforts to get a new trial... were turned down in 2011. A hearing was granted in 2012 based on the DNA and fingerprint technology advancing, but that hasn't gone on. Attorney Dennis Benjamin of the Idaho Innocence Project took on the case in 2011, and in February 18th, 2014, the Idaho Supreme Court rejected. And the only reason the Idaho Innocence Project even picked it up was because of her counsel.
Yeah.
That was the only reason. I don't really believe that anybody thinks she didn't do it. I think everybody now is to the point where it goes back to all the other kids that get locked up and get life. Is it fair?
Yeah.
That whole spiel.
To have
I think that's where everybody's at.
This she was pretty 16. Premeditated and planned, though.
It was. And it's sick and twisted. Makes you not want to fucking tell your kids now. But, like, at the end of the day, if there's no boyfriend, this doesn't happen. But what her, I think it was her aunt, someone in her family, I won't say which, who, because I can't remember who, but said that if she could do this to her parents for not liking her boyfriend.
Yeah.
What is she possible to do to anybody else?
After 3 months.
Yeah.
With this.
Yeah. Idiot. So she is in Pocatello, Idaho at the woman's facility on death row. So the next person from Idaho we're going to talk about is a killer, Linda Monroe. And I will let Jean read this one.
Okay. Linda Ambrose, born 1891. She had 5 victims. The span of the murders were between 1917 and 1920, and she liked to poison people. She had some in Missouri and Idaho. Linda Catherine Ambrose, excuse me. Linda Catherine Ambrose was born in 1891. Little is known about her childhood and upbringing. She first appears on our radar in 1917 when her fiancé died suddenly and in great pain. And Lida, oh, we were saying it incorrectly. Lida came into a $2,000 insurance policy courtesy of his insurance policy. Well, that's helpful. Back then, that's a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
Hardly observing a decent period of grieving, Lida turned her attention to her fiancé's brother and married him within a few days of his brother's death. Within 3 months, he was dead, making his widow $2,500 richer. Linda moved to Twin Falls, Idaho, where a restaurant owner fell to her charms. They were married June 10th, 1918. Shortly after, the unfortunate man dropped dead from stomach ulcers. Unfortunately for Linda, she'd been negligent this time around. Her husband's life insurance policy had lapsed, so she got nothing. Well, you gotta try again. She made no such mistake with victim number four. Just 3 months after the nuptials, the man dropped dead and Lydda collected $10,000 on his policy. Her next victim was dispatched even faster. Nobody put it together, I guess. He survived just a month after being married to Lydda before died in November 1920. A $12,000 policy had been taken out of his life just a month earlier. But Lydda had pushed her luck too far this time. Once the police were made aware of her terrible luck with husbands, an investigation was launched. When a search of her home turned up large amounts of arsenic-laced flypaper, exhumations, where they dig up the body, were ordered and autopsies carried out on the victims. They were found to have died from arsenic poisoning, which I heard is really painful, too.
Mm-hmm, horrible.
Tried and found guilty of first-degree murder, Lydda Ambrose was sentenced to life in prison. She escaped in 1931, but was recaptured a year later and eventually died behind bars. I wonder if she got married in that time and got somebody else's life insurance policy.
She was caught in Missouri.
She's a black widow?
Yep. She is known for her insurance fraud scheme.
Wow.
Yeah. And now I guess we will tell you about, well, I don't really know why. No one knows why this girl did what she did. No one really is aware of why. But Melissa R. Bates, I guess, is who we're going to talk about next. She is from St. Marie's, Idaho. I don't know where the fuck that is. I don't know where the fuck it is. It's
Northern Idaho.
It is Northern Idaho. I know that much. But I don't know. Couldn't tell you much about it. But she shot and killed her uncle, Robert Dean Mark, who was 43 years old. No one really knows why. But she left his body. Well, she burned his body along with tires, wood, and hay.
Oh.
In a ring of rocks.
Maybe she was trying to...
I don't know.
Mix it up it didn't look obvious.
Why do people burn people? Like, I just want to tell... Like, I think I've already told everybody, but, like, it just doesn't happen that way. Like, you have to have a consistent amount of heat to burn a body.
Didn't that one... We did one...
Two whole days
to burn.
Yeah. And she was a little girl. She wasn't a little girl. And when I say little girl, she was small. Yeah. She was petite. She was a petite woman. Still 2 fucking days. Like, bodies don't just...
Burn up,
turn to ash, and disappear.
Yeah.
Like they do in the movies. It's not one burn sesh and we're done. Like, think about when you get cremated. That is like...
5,000 degrees.
Something like that, dude. It's fucking hot.
Yeah.
Like, ugh. Gross, dude. It's just so gross. Yeah, so no one really knows why. She moved into his house prior to the killing. It was weird because, like, she gave 10 different stories kind of on how it happened. The murder was committed on May 5th of 2011. In their home, 8 miles south of St. Marie's, along Highway 3, it says. They do say that he suffered from mental illness. And she tried to say that she suffers from mental illness, but that is not a defense in Idaho.
Huh.
So, it's just weird. It really looks like she just snapped. But, the judge sentenced her to probation and gave her 30 years in prison. I guess they say that her mental illness started when she was a teenager, that she had 10 different diagnoses.
Oh.
By the time she was an adult, she had been married at 17 and then divorced. She had a son and a daughter. She had been to rehab multiple times, I guess. She gave an address to the court, which is kind of weird when it came to that time in her sentencing. She ended her statement in saying, I do not want any contact with my biological family. Which is weird, I guess. Her family said that she was being dramatic and emotional, and she was like that all the way through her teen years as well. That she was disconnected from the world and reality. When she was at her best, she was a hard worker and an athlete, a good student when she was in school. She was sent to a psychiatric hospital in Orofino for 2 years, and she showed improvement then, but then got off her medication and snapped. And her family says something inside of her snapped a long time ago. The Idaho State mental health system failed her, the family says.
Yeah. Mental health care is no longer important, and I think that's one of the core problems.
It is.
Why in the world are we pretending that? That could be like an hour-long conversation with me, so I'll be careful.
It's so hard in Idaho to get mental help. It's changing.
Yeah.
Slowly. It's changing, but it's still hard.
When I got out, I stopped being in healthcare in 2015, they were shutting a lot down because of budgeting. And mental health is first on the budget. And that doesn't make sense. You can't take medication and counseling and stability away from unstable people.
Yeah. It's super sad.
They shoot people.
Her family was super afraid of her going to prison because of her mental illness. They wanted to know that she was safe. She said that he was a sweet man and didn't deserve to die like that, and that she did love him, and that they did point out that the case really did lack motive because she was on a hard time and he was the only person that helped her.
Yeah.
And so he died shortly after. No one really knows. And like I said, his body was burned along tires, wood, hay. Just horrible. Dumped in a trash can at the home. They found a wedding dress, a graduation certificate, life skills program that she completed, a court judgment document of domestic violence of a case that she was in, and her social security documents as well. She was arrested on a boat launch in Bayview on Lake Pend. Oh, where the hell is that? I don't even know where that is.
Pend Oreille? Yeah. It is in Oregon.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay.
I know I slaughtered that name. I'm sorry.
In a video recording of the police, she admitted to shooting him and burning his body. She also admitted that she threw the gun into St. Joe's River. Two people testified that she was at the home the night that he was killed. They stopped by because they were having problems with their plumbing. And when they stopped by, they noticed that there was a fire blazing. And despite the fact that it was pouring rain outside.
Oh. You noticed that. And that's that northern Idaho, Montana
rain
area where it's rain and trees.
Rain, bro. Rain.
Rural areas where, you know, why didn't she just dig?
Dude, who fucking knows? That's just weird. In the rain? Some people say that the water flowing by Mark's house was red, blood red. Thinking it was odd.
Yeah.
She said that it was rust, is what she described it to be. No one thought that.
For what?
Because he was a plumber. I don't fucking know. She just said it was rust. She told the men to go inside and see if he could help with the plumbing. When they came back out, they were like, well, he's not there. And she was like, well, I don't know. Don't know. She allegedly said, this is not, no one knows if this is true. This is allegedly, she threatened someone saying, I can shoot you right between the fucking eyes and it wouldn't bother me a bit. So there's that.
Yeah. That's directed to the point.
Yeah. There's that. But yeah, so she was found guilty. And she's in prison for... What did it says on here? When good. Her... Ugh. Gotta get it. She was sentenced to 30 years to life. So she's gonna be... away for a long time. I don't know how, if she'll come back. Does she go to Pocatello too?
I think that's the main women's prison. I know they do have housing over there in Boise, but it just, that's still just kind of, I mean, this whole case, and I'm not trying to justify what she's saying, but I'm trying to just put it out there about that mental illness and that they need more.
If she had, if she was, it's horrible. You know what I mean? If there was known previous issues. And my little brother, mainly some of my little brother's things is, if my little brother's on his medication, he hates taking it.
Yeah.
If he's medicated, I think he's normal. Okay. I look at him and I'm like, oh, okay, you're not as crazy as you were. You're calmed down, whatever. He feels numb. He doesn't like it. Mm-hmm. He doesn't feel like he's himself. And then he'll take it for a couple days and then he feels... better.
Yeah.
Everybody tells him he's better. So now he doesn't need it anymore.
Yeah.
And he stops taking it.
So why wasn't there a combination of counseling, like where they go for 3 days? Because it's not just talking about feelings and stuff. These counselors work with skills, life skills. What are your goals? What are your targets? What can we work on? Let's talk about triggers.
Yeah.
You feel these triggers coming on. Here's some exercises that you can do. Come on. But to go and talk to a counselor for a session is
not gonna
$165 by itself. Unless, I just think it needs to be more affordable mm-hmm. and tons of help out there.
Yeah.
Instead of putting these guys in jail in one of the most confrontational situations, and you're gonna put this guy that's unstable in housing?
Well, her.
You know what I mean?
It's not him. Her. Well,
yeah.
Yeah.
But still.
Yeah.
It just, I have a problem with that.
It saddens me that people... Well, and I guess, really, back 2011, it's not that long ago, but really it is. Yeah. Socially, I feel it is. Things are more put in people's faces now. Depression.
Yeah.
Anxiety, every type of thing you can have is more in people's faces now. Because now you make videos when you're having one of those breakdowns and showing, people are showing themselves in vulnerable moments of like, this is what it is. This is what it's not something dramatic.
Yeah.
And like with my depression, I have great days and I have bad days. I have days where I cry all day long and I don't know why. All day. All day long. I will cry all day long. I will walk through Walmart crying. And I don't know why. I just let myself do it.
Yeah.
I just know I need to cry.
Your body needs it.
Mm-hmm. And I don't treat mine in any way, shape, or form. I know I have it.
This sounds like you have your ways of coping with it and handling it.
Mm-hmm.
And you have signs. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. It just breaks my heart.
I don't think it's really helping.
No, and it's just sad because she's just, I don't know, she just looks very sweet. But yeah, she looks super cute and super sweet. But I don't know, some people just break, I guess. I really wish I could know why, like what her reasoning was. But it's just sad. It's... Idaho
should have been dealt with better.
Yeah. Like, we're changing slowly. We are changing. As a state and everything else, we are changing slowly. Just wish it could happen a little faster. Like the states around us, mm-hmm. you know? And I really wish mental health was taken seriously.
Yeah, all over. Mm-hmm. It should be.
Way more serious. People need to have more compassion, I think.
I think if they understood.
And understanding. Understanding is a big part of it, I think.
Because you tend to be afraid of what you don't understand.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, instead of.
And so, oh, and I gotta say, Sarah is on Kill. If you guys watch Netflix, who doesn't have Netflix? I mean, come on now. On Netflix, there's a Forensic Files. It's Collection 6, Episode 38. It's called Disrobed. There's also a 2020 on ID that you have to go to YouTube to watch.
Yeah.
And then there's also, she's also supposedly on Killer Women on Netflix as well. And like, if you watch that show, it's about a bunch of fucking girl ladies that are now grown that went to prison, most of them when they were young. Mm-hmm. There's one girl, the first episode you watch, I don't know her name, but she killed her whole entire family. For her boyfriend. Her boyfriend and his friend did it. They killed the entire family, little brothers included.
Why?
Burned the house down. Fucking torched it. Her dad survived.
Did we do that one?
No.
Oh.
We haven't. But, so, and now she's an adult, and, like, he asked her, he's like, well, what do you think of it now? And she's like, well, now, it's fucking pointless. It's stupid. There's no point to it.
Yeah.
And people just, think about the heat of the moment. And I've said that before. People don't consider, yes, the action is bad. The action is not okay. But at least acknowledge the fact that it was a very crazy moment.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean?
I'm sure it's an intense, and then there's adrenaline, and then there's fear, and
yeah, everything.
Rush of power. I don't know. I've never put myself in that situation. I don't really like confrontation, but.
Well, no, like, I don't know. Some people, when they say that, like, they're normally a happy-go-lucky person, I think those happy-go-lucky people sometimes keep too much inside.
A volcano at the end?
Yeah. And then you just fucking blow up.
Yeah. And then you apologize a lot because you're not even mad at the person.
You just no, like you just blow up. And unfortunately, some people in those moments do things that are just unspeakable and not okay. Sarah, though, I think you planned it out a little bit more than just a heat of the moment.
Yeah.
Hers, I think, was a little more. I don't know why kids think that if your parents go away, everything's just going to be better.
They can try it, I guess. If you have a better way, all of us are human and just trying to get through this and do the best that we can.
Well, and like her poor brother got robbed.
Yeah.
Like he.
Of his parents.
Of, yeah, his parents, his sister.
His mom's not going to go to his wedding now.
Yeah, you know. She's not going to be a grandma. There's no grandpa. You know what I mean?
Miss Sarah didn't get her man, obviously.
Yeah, all because your sister threw a fucking tantrum. It's insane. It just, I couldn't imagine. And he. If you watch the 2020, you guys get to watch a little bit of his testimony and stuff that he gives. And he just straight up tells the judge, he's like, I really just want her to be sentenced to life and to go away so I don't ever have to fucking think about her again.
Yeah.
Well, he doesn't say fuck, obviously.
Yeah.
But like, you know what I mean? He's like, I just want to be done with her.
Some closure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Altogether, just be done. And he told her.
His own sister, and that's too bad, but, I mean, she did rob him. Mm-hmm. She did. He didn't do anything wrong. Just because your parents disagree with you at that moment, sometimes step outside yourself. Look at the bigger picture. There's always two sides to a story.
Well, and I guarantee you
it was... Take more than 3 months.
You know, yeah. You know what I mean? And, like, I just feel like as a parent now...
It's terrifying.
It's horrible.
You bet.
Because you don't say what you need to say in the moment because the moment's so intense. You know what I mean? So I can imagine this. You say you're going to Sally's house. You're not at Sally's house. You're at the boyfriend's house. Everybody finds out about it. You're busted. Now you're grounded. You're pissed the fuck off. You can't go anywhere. You got the car. Now you don't have a car. You're mad. And your parents aren't fucking talking to you. You're getting the my house, my rules. Fucking deal with it. You're grounded.
Yeah.
And sometimes as parents, we think that's all we owe our kids is it's what I said.
Deal with it. Yep.
But that's not fair. You have to sit them down and be like, hey, check it out. I'm not trying to be this way, but this is what we think. This is what we are seeing. This is not good for you. So, you know, we're going to come down hard on you.
And honestly, sometimes as parents, you have to look at that. You have to understand with your kids, you know.
You have to go back to being a teenager.
Yeah. If you say, no, you absolutely cannot see him, I forbid it, she's going to be there in 20 minutes when she goes to bed.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's just horrible. But that's our story. So, you guys, hopefully the fucking 49ers go to the Super Bowl. That's all I'm saying. Let's have some prayers. Amen. Yeah. So, we'll check you guys out on Tuesday. I'm either going to be super, super excited or I'm going to be a downer, depending on how this game goes. Hopefully we just get a good game. You guys can follow us on Twitter at it is what it is 208 because that's where we're from. On Instagram, it is what it is pod 19, all one word. On Facebook, it is what it is a true crime podcast. On YouTube, it is what it is a true crime podcast. You can go to iTunes and review us, star us, whatever, follow us, all that good nonsense. And yeah, we'll check you guys out.
Thank you.
See you later. Peace out.
Bye.